If you have your Bible, let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 16 this morning. The great apostle Paul says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, for in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Father, we do come to you this morning, and we are humbled by your oversight and your watch care for us. Lord, if we would just stop for a moment in this busy, harrowing world that we live in, and look around us and see what you've done for us. You've sustained us. You've given us great blessings. Lord, I dare say that there's not a thing that we have needed that you have not provided. Oh, maybe there's some things that we wanted, but those things we didn't need. So, Lord, we just thank you this morning. And we recognize that this time, this week, we're setting it aside for a thanksgiving, a remembrance of what you have done for us as a people, as a nation, and the things that you so readily pour out upon us over and over and over again. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We ask you to be with us this morning. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Let these words of your scripture find a place in our hearts that we might be energized, refocused, and strengthened, that we might be able to live in this world, this underworld world, and proclaim the name of Jesus and live out our faith on a day-to-day basis, under attack most assuredly, but nevertheless, in you we have the strength. And Lord, we know and recognize that this is always the way it's been. We pray, Father God, that you would bless our services. Be with those, Father, that need you in a very special way today. Be with those, Lord, who are struggling. Father, there are many illnesses. There's many physical things going on. But, Lord, there are many other things. There are all kinds of related issues, debt, mortgages, high prices of food, on and on and on it goes. But, Lord, we have something the world does not have. We have Jesus. And in him, he will supply all our needs. Bless this time together now. For these things I ask in that mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as you know, this Thursday is Thanksgiving. And I'm thankful to be an American. I really am. I know we live in an underworld world. I know things are going on all around us. I sometimes get really disappointed with and all those kind of things. But I think that I unapologetically love our country. For the most part, I do though, because God has worked with us and he's working with us still and he's going to continue to work with us. I love it because it's not simply because of greatness in the past. Strength and resources, God has given us resources, unbelievable. It's always amazing, isn't it, how we find this out over and over and over again. We have more gas, more natural gas, more fuel, more, all these things. Then the whole world has it together. I think God said, bless them. And when he blesses you, it's always going to be to the max, isn't it? So it's not just those resources that God has given us. Unsurpassed beauty. I was looking through the internet the other day, and I was kind of thinking about trying to get Todd to put some things up on the bulletin boards in the sense of just something. There are beautiful, beautiful places in this world. I see Tom back there and Dave, and I know that they used to go to national parks every summer. Wasn't that it, Tom? How many did you get? A lot. And so you saw all kinds of different places all over the country. And it's vastly different from one place to another. And each has its own beauty, doesn't it? There's spectacular, beautiful, natural things that happen that God has given with us. There are unthinkable achievements that we as Americans have given to the world. Scientific discoveries, medical breakthroughs, which have blessed the whole world. I thank God for who he has brought us to be as Americans. I love America because America has held out to the entire world concepts of freedom, concepts of a living faith, unfettered by dictatorial regimes and all those kind of things, freedom of speech, personal freedoms under the law, and of course, perhaps the greatest of all is a freedom that we have to worship God as God has given us the conscience, the mind to worship him in spirit and truth. This is not man-centered religion. No, this is God-centered. Spiritual revival in Christ Jesus. Freedom, we know true freedom comes in Christ Jesus, who is Lord. If you don't have Jesus, you're in prison. That's all there is to it. And the Bible as God's holy word. Isn't it amazing how wonderful that you can just almost blindly turn to any page you want to do. Just put your finger down there and you read something and you're going to say, wow, thank you, Lord. It is his word. Now, our founding fathers, of course, were wise enough to give us a constitutional republic. You know, I hear it all the time, heard it a lot during the campaigning, this idea about a democracy. We're not a pure democracy. We're a constitutional republic. You must understand that the Soviet Union was a democracy, a pure democracy. You see, in the Soviet Union, every citizen had the right, maybe the privilege, to vote. The big rub there was, when they voted, they only had one guy to vote for. The same thing over there in Iraq, the dictators, Saddam Hussein. The Iraqis had the privilege to vote. Matter of fact, if you went and voted, what did they do? They stuck your thumb down in some purple ink so that they could tell you voted. Because you see what happened? After that voting took place, if you didn't have purple ink on your finger, what happened to you? I don't know that that's freedom. I don't know that that's good. If you don't have somebody to vote for, if you have to vote under the penalty of death, then I don't know that that's freedom. I have no idea that it is. But the truth is, our Constitution did not embrace simply a majority democracy. The states were unequal. Some were bigger than the others. And so this unequal population, our founding fathers addressed that with a representation in the Senate. The Electoral College gave the states weight as states in selecting presidents. But a concession to the big states was given in a concession to political realities that they had more population. And so they have representatives, the House of Representatives, provided some balance there. All you have to do is read Madison in the Federalist Papers, number 63. You're saying to yourself, what? You can go back and listen to that. You can look it up. Alexander Hamilton echoed this argument over and over and over again every time he used democracy. You see, our founding fathers feared a healthy fear of a minority governing. You see, most of the time, and you know, the 13 colonies were basically English. We're just England transported, mostly. You see, in England, you had the landed gentry. You had the nobles. You had all those kind of people. You had a king. All those people had the rule over you. You had nothing to say about it. Our founding fathers didn't want that to be here. So they feared a minority rule. They feared an autocracy like that. But they also feared a majority rule, a population. Just because you have more people than any else, you could vote your way and it's going to go that way. So they had all these checks and balances. They had all these things put in for a purpose, my friends, so that we would have equal representation in our country. Not just because we were the most or the less or the most powerful or the biggest, loudest voices, but because they had those things built into the Constitution. I read a story about a groom who was very nervous about getting married. I just did a wedding not too long ago. And I was really confident. I thought Mark was doing quite well up until the point he did his vows. And then I guess he said stuff I couldn't understand. I was standing right there. He was standing right there. He was so emotional, wasn't he? Well, listen, I read a story about a groom who was nervous about getting married. A friend asked him what was wrong. He said, "Have you lost your ring or something?" He said, it's the or something. He said, "No, I haven't lost the ring, but I think I'm losing my enthusiasm." Many, many people today have lost their enthusiasm. We have lost our enthusiasm. We're not hot like we used to be. The church in America is not hot like it used to be. We've lost our enthusiasm. And the fundamental building blocks of America, the fundamental building blocks that we have embraced, that have made us a people and made us who we are, those things are spiritual dimensions. And we've lost our enthusiasm for them. You know, Bob and I talk politics on Sunday morning, don't we, Bob? And sometimes we get a little bit heated. But I agree with Bob, because Bob always trumps me with this. I complain about this or I complain about that. And Bob always says, well, now listen, Pastor Mike. Do you say Pastor Mike, Bob? Okay. He said, that's not our biggest problem. I said, well, I just named you a half dozen. He said, that's not our biggest problem. The biggest problem we have in America is we've forgotten God. He's right. There's the biggest problem. There's the biggest problem. Amen. Our future prosperity will depend on whether we are willing to repent of our sins and be willing to return to God wholeheartedly and once more humble ourselves and cry out to God and let His holy words find place in our hearts, and that faith might grow and be strengthened again. Honoring Jesus, putting the Bible principles back in our society, in our government. Oh my goodness, how about our schools? We need that there. But we need to embrace those things personally, first and foremost. First and foremost. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin, what is a reproach to any people? Do you see what that's a blanket verse, isn't it? Righteousness exalts it. It doesn't have to be America. It doesn't have to be Argentina. Righteousness exalts a nation. If those people in that nation will humble themselves and come to God, God will exalt them and He will bless them. Almighty God, speaking to the great prophet Jeremiah, said this: if a nation against whom I have pronounced judgment will turn to me again and repent, I will forgive their sins. Psalms 33 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It's just the way it is. So being thankful is more than an individual thing, but it needs to be there at first. Thank you, God, for what you've done for me. And when you become thankful and enthusiastic about what God is doing for you in your life and seeing how God's hands upon you and the blessings that God has so freely poured out, count your blessings. We did a sermon about that not too long ago. Count those blessings. Praise the Lord in all things. Your mind and your heart will change. Putting God first means sacrifice, though, doesn't it? It means struggles, because there's going to be opposition. I don't know about you, but I was in the Walmart store the other day, and I was getting a gallon of milk at 2% milk is what we usually get. And I usually get the Walmart brand, because that's the cheapest, I guess. And I picked that up, put it in my basket, and this lady was right beside me. She said, look at the price of that milk. I thought, well, I just put one in my cart. And then she pointed over there, and the one that was right next to that was $6 and a nickel for a gallon of milk. And I said that to somebody this morning, and they identified that milk. Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? All these things are happening, and it puts stress in our lives. It puts stress in our life probably because we're thinking that this Thursday is Thanksgiving and we need to do all kinds of things. We need to have that turkey and we need to have that dressing and we need to have mashed potatoes and gravy. We need to have hot rolls. what is that red looking stuff comes in a roll? Cranberry sauce or something? Yeah, I don't like that junk. But anyway, yeah. But we already had a request at my house from this young man sitting down here in the green and blue store. He was telling his grandmother, Nan, we've got to have some of that stuffing. We've got to have that turkey like you based it. He's putting in his order. And yeah, that sounds good to me. But you know what? We could be thankful without all that stuff. If we had a bologna sandwich, there'd be people all over the world who would say, man, those guys are blessed. But most of you here this morning, I dare say maybe every one of you, will have something that is good to eat on Thursday or Friday or whenever you can celebrate that. because we've been blessed so much. Paul exhorts us here in 1 Thessalonians. In everything, what did he say? In everything, give thanks. For this is what the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I would ask you to note that Paul's not saying giving thanks for everything, but to give thanks to God in every circumstance you find yourself in. There are some things that are evil. We don't give thanks for them. We don't give thanks for a murderer. We don't give thanks for those kind of things. But in everything, give thanks in the circumstances you even find yourself in. But in every circumstances, give thanks because God is bigger than that problem. That problem. And sometimes when we're facing those problems, they seem like giants, don't they? Whew. And most of the time, what we have to do is back up a little bit and grab ourselves and take hold because it's frightening. What's going to take place? How's this going to work out? And all those kind of things. But you see, we need to recognize that all these, it's in the mind. It's the battle for our hearts and minds. And love is a great emotion, but gratitude, thanksgiving, is even stronger and powerful. You say, I don't believe that. Well, look it up a little bit. You'll see it. Be thankful for what? First of all, I would say, let's be thankful for our salvation. Let's just thank the Lord for that. Because somebody pointed out, I think it was Barry this morning, that my days are numbered. And, you know, one of these days, bingo, I'm going to fly away. Yeah. And I've always said this, and I remember, I don't know if you remember this or not, but John and Rosalie Schwartz were some folks that used to go to our church years ago, and they were Amish, and Rosalie's grandmother or great-grandmother was Baptist or something like that. So they lived out on Schwartz Road over here. And so Rosalie came to our church, and she visited a couple times, and then she met with me, and she asked me to come out to visit her and her husband John. And so I did, and I found out that Rosalie was not real thrilled by what was happening, quote unquote, in the Amish, in her area at least. And so she's wanting to come to Calvary, but John was a little reluctant. And so I talked with John a little bit. And so pretty soon they started coming to Calvary. They came for a couple, 2 or 3 years, and then I forget what it was, that turned down on the farming prices, land prices, or something like that. They went to Virginia for a while because they had a son there or something like that, and then they came back. Anyway, when they came back to Calvary and all those kind of things. But Rosalie calls up one day. She's wanting us to come over to have pie and coffee. And I thought, well, okay, what kind of pie? Isn't that terrible? I don't want rhubarb pie. How about apple or something, you know, peach pie or something. Anyway, and but hey, guess what? You know that white stuff you put on top of the pie? What's that called? Cream. Yeah, whipped cream. Guess what theirs was? Homemade. Ooh-wee. That stuff in that little plastic thing they call Cool Whip? Uh-uh. This is a whole different thing. And so anyway, we're eating, and of course I'm concentrating on eating my pie and those kind of things. And so my Rosalie got my wife and took her off in the other room. And they stayed in there for a while, and then she came out. And so on the way home, I said, well, what was Rosalie doing? She said she was showing me on her side. She had a terrible knot there, like nothing you'd ever seen before. My wife, 40 years in the ER. It was cancer. It was cancer. And so they did several things to try to combat that cancer. But she died. And so one of her sons calls me up and said, you know, Pastor Mike, I know that Mom and Dad went to Calvary and all those kind of things, and they really loved you and loved the church and all that kind of stuff, but most of our family is Amish. They won't come to a Baptist church. I said, well, you know. She said, but the church in Grable, the Mennonite church in Grable, they'll go there. Can we have it there? I said, well, sure. I'm off. And he said to me, he said, well, you know, Pastor, I don't want you to be offended, but you know, we're going to ask them to do the service at their church. The pastor there needs to have the service. I said, I'm not offended whatsoever. Do that. So anyway, about 3 or 4 days later, I get a call. He calls me up and says, you know, Pastor Mike, we have found something, a change of plans. And I said, oh, what is it? He said, well, we found something in Mom's Bible. It was her will, I guess you might say. And this is what she wanted done. And he said, there's two things there. One, I can understand. She said, I want Pastor Mike to do my funeral. And so Mark said, can you do her funeral? I said, well, I can if the pastor over there is fine with that. And he said, well, maybe we can do something together. And I said, that's fine, whatever. He said, the other thing, he said, we don't know what to make of that. I don't know, what could that be? It says, I want Pastor Mike to do my funeral, and I want it to be like an Irish wake without the drinking. And he said, I don't know what that is. I said, well, I do know what that is. I said, I've always said that. You know, hey, listen, when I die, I'm not going to be there down front in that little box or anything like that. I'm going to go home to the Lord like that. Bingo. I'm going to see some folks I haven't seen for a while. I'm going to see some folks that couldn't walk that can walk up there. I'm going to see all kinds of folks. So don't be messing around with that silly coffin, with that corpse decaying there. Don't be thinking about that. Let it be a celebration without the drinking. And so that's what they tried to have. I'll tell you, it was amazing. Listen, we have much to be thankful for in the Lord Jesus. And these things affect us in all kinds of ways. And what we need to do is just simply try to live out our faith. Be thankful for our salvation. Well, that was Rosalie's service. It wasn't too long after that. Maybe a year. I don't think it was two. And John, her husband, died. And so they called up and said, you know, Brother Mike, we're going to have the church, the funeral over there in Harlan at the church there. Fine, that's fine. He said, but could you have Dad's funeral too? I said, what? He said, yeah, he wants you to do it. He wants you to have the funeral like an Irish wake without the drinking. I said, I'll try to do that. I'll tell you, you know what? They had a calling, and I don't see how you could. That church was open from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night, and people filed through because they knew John and Rosalie. And here's the family sitting there that whole time. I don't know how they endured it. I really don't. Because some people would come up, and of course, they would embrace them, and then they'd get emotional and they'd cry. Well, okay, that's understandable. But for 8-10 hours, that's a long time to be doing something like that. And guess what? We might have been crying here. But there was no crying there. John saw his beloved bride free from cancer, free from pain, free from all those things, and him too. That's what we're about thanking God for, rescuing us from the problem of sin, paying that sin debt, giving to us a new life now and forever. We need to be thankful for our families. You know, families can kind of get messy sometimes. When I think of my dad, and of course you saw or heard that sometimes Matt or some of the kids will say something like, you know, all right, Earl, settle down. That was my dad. And what they were telling me is, you're sounding just like your dad, and it's not good, so stop it, you know. And I think, actually, the first person who instituted that policy is sitting right there in the front seat in that black dress. And I'll tell you, you couldn't slap me harder than that. All right, Earl, calm down. Oh, you know? But you know why I get so, because it's true. I sound just like him. Didn't want to, don't want to. I always said I never would and all those kind of things, but there it is. You see, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And listen, when we're bringing our families up in the way in the Lord, acknowledging the ways of the Lord, those things are impacting them. Whether they know it or not, can gauge it or not, that's what happens. And now, when I think of my dad, I smile. Because he was kind of rough as a cob. And like I always said, he was a first sergeant most of his life, and I was just the troop. All he wanted me to do was come to attention, salute, and say, yes, sir. He didn't want any advice. He didn't want none of that kind of stuff. But now, I just think, well, that was my dad. I think my mom was even worse. She was just came from a different direction. We ought to be thankful for our families, though. They get so much. Get so much. I was thinking, when I was looking through those pictures the other day, Kyla, I was looking at states and things like that, and I was thinking about, there was two or three things right here in Indiana that I thought, wait a second, Bill and Barb went there, some kind of cave someplace in southern Indiana, you know, beautiful places, and because they love to do that. They like to get out and hike and do all that kind of stuff. We ought to be thankful for our families and what they sacrificed to give us. Maybe we thought it should have been more. Maybe it should have been better. But nevertheless, we ought to be thankful for our families. We need to be thankful for our health. Did you know that? Gary was talking about this morning, you know, Pastor, you know, you're getting awful old. You're on your last leg. Isn't that what you said, Gary? Basically. And he's right, you know. And here I am. I move all my fingers and all my, I can do all this kind of stuff. I can fall up and down the stairs with no problem. We should be thankful. I'm not in the hospital. I'm not in the jail. I'm not in the Ukraine. All kinds of things I can be thankful for. And I have the health and the wherewithal to be able to enjoy each and every day. We need to be thankful to God for his word. It's precious. It's precious. And I know that you've experienced that. You've turned to something and you've been reading a verse or verses. And all of a sudden God got your attention. And you saw something there. It's like a diamond that's been laying there all along. But you never saw it before because you weren't ready to see that. God's word is a depth that cannot be fathom. It is great and marvelous and wonderful. Joy asked me something Wednesday night about somehow or another to talk about scripture. I told her I had an old Bible. Was it 143 years old or was it older? 148 years old. I was over at the Lutheran Seminary using their library, and it was a windy and cold day, and this lady had a little box, and she's walking down there. She said, young man, can you help me with this box? And I said, well, sure. And so I started carrying the box, and she started going over there. She said, well, in here is our family Bible. She said, it's very precious to me. And I want to see if the seminary will take it. And I said, well, that's wonderful. I'm sure they will. And she said something about that. And I said, well, I'm not a Lutheran. I said, the only reason I'm here is because I'm using their library. I said, I'm a Baptist. And she said, oh! She said, this is a divine appointment. A what? She said, my grandmother was a Baptist. She took that box. She said, would you take this Bible for me? She'd want you to have it. Wow. There was an album in there. I didn't know if she wanted to give away all those pictures. We have that too. That word was precious to her because it was precious to her mother. This word needs to be precious to us. And we need to pass that along to our children that there is something there. We might not be able to put our finger on it. We might not be able to express it in words, but it's there, and we need to be thankful for that. We ought to be thankful for the creation. Like I said, I was looking through those pictures of all kinds of places, I was going to have Todd try to do some of those things, but he was out running around all afternoon. Can you imagine that? Just abandoned me, you know. And so I didn't get any of those things done, but physically, physically, this is America the Beautiful. It's beautiful from coast to coast. There's something in every state. Of course, they weren't states at that time, but now they're states. There's something in every state that's unusual. I lived in Kansas for a long time. I thought about trying to do that. Just put the places that I lived, you know, and put those up like that. But Todd was out running around. We lived in Kansas for a long time. And I never knew they had these funny looking hills there. And I forget what they called them. Beautiful stuff. And basically, that's the plains. And here you have this stuff there. Listen, take a moment. Indiana's a pretty place. Flat as a pancake, good soil. I saw some pictures of Indiana, but I saw the one that I thought, aha, that guy's got it. It was cornfields. Yeah. Aren't you glad that our farmers can grow corn and soybeans and feed us and the whole world? My friend that's a farmer down there in Huntington, Works. But those fields are beautiful. And when they're harvested like they are right now, that meant they got those crops in. They're in the silos, they're in the disposition places, whatever. We ought to be thankful for that. Certainly we ought to be thankful for our husbands and our wives, our children, our grandchildren. We ought to be thankful that we have some way, we might call a job, or some way that we can support ourselves. We ought to be thankful for that. We ought to be thankful for music and singing, those simple little things. I don't know. Pastor put me over here under that thing. Did you notice that? He did that this morning. He said, Pastor, you stand over here. Why'd you do that? I don't know. I don't know. It made me self-conscious. I thought, should I be singing like this or whatever? Maybe I, you know, that thing's done right there. It made Rhonda stop and playing in the middle of a song there. We ought to be thankful for that. You know, we got a young man down here in a blue shirt. He sits downstairs and that piano and plunks it out and plays and everything. He's got the music in him. That's a gift from God. Thankful for that. The guy that's sitting next to him started to plunk around on it too. It's amazing. We ought to be thankful for our Christian friends. It's amazing how many times you think that something's going on that's just beyond your help and strength, that God will send somebody by and link you up, and it'll be the help you need. You know, it's also a good thing to laugh. Did you know that? It's a good thing to laugh. We ought to be thankful for laughter. My granddaughter used to sing a little song that it's from Proverbs 17:22. Laughter is a good medicine. And she used to go around singing it. A joyful heart is good medicine, a joyful heart. Joyful heart is good medicine, joyful heart is good. Now, she was about 4 or 5 years old, and then she would go, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. But a joyful heart is... I'm still singing it. Still singing. Listen, it's good to smile. It's good to laugh. It's, you know, and we ought to think about this week. This is the Thanksgiving week. Of all the things that God has so freely given to us, we ought to try to give some of those away as well. We ought to do that. I'm thankful for you, our extended family, church family here at Calvary. Somebody said something about, what was that you said this morning, Taylor? How many years have I been here or something? 43? Is that right? Really? Good grief. No wonder you guys are stunned. But listen, we have a family here. And if you need something, I guarantee you can call somebody and they're going to help you if they can. Why? First of all, they're committed to Christ. Secondly, they love him. And thirdly, they love you in Christ. And they're going to do all that they can do to help you. Now, they might not be able to help you, but they will try to help you. So let's be thankful. be thankful this week. Father God, you are magnificent in your grace towards us in Christ Jesus, who is Lord. Father, we all experience things in our lives. Health issues, financial issues, the car breaks down unexpectedly. All these things come our way. Children get in an irritable spirit. All those things happen. But we want to thank you for all those things, because you're blessing us in spite of what we think sometimes. A blessing will come, and we need to be thankful. So I ask your blessing on us here this day, and all those that name the name of Christ, who are worshiping all around the world, worshiping the Lord Jesus, thankful for this great gift of salvation, full and free, and the gift that you're walking with us, never leave us nor forsake us, every step of the way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. For these things we pray in that mighty name of Jesus. Amen.